It's good to know it's a blessing to folks, but I always, you know, back when I used to coon hunt a little bit when I was younger, you go to bragging on your dog some, next thing you know, he'll wind up letting you down. But anyway, we had family and friend day at our church this morning, and had a lot of folks there, and I'd never been so nervous in all my life. I don't know what it was, but I told them first of the week, I said, I'm just nervous every time I think about it. It makes me nervous. This morning I was nervous, but I felt, you know, I had a good time preaching. I felt like I just made a mess out of things, you know, and it's our challenge to make things clear to people. And not, have you ever, sometimes, and it probably happens when I'm preaching, but sometimes fellas preaching, you think, what in the world's he talking about? And sometimes we get like that. but it's our challenge to make clear the things of God. And that is a challenge sometimes, because we can see things a lot of time, but we can't hardly spit it out the way we see it. But I appreciate Brother Jeff, and he's always an encourager to me, and just an encouraging fella, and the spirit that he has, and just appreciate Brother Jeff and his family, and the opportunity to be here tonight. And you just pray for us for a little while. We've had a lot going on, and Brother Jeff said he was on call. I said I'm on call. I do heating there. I had to go out on a call. We had service, and we ate, and then I had to run out and catch service call and come back, come down here. So we've been busy, but thank the Lord for it. Thankful that we can have the ability to go. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with us and read, we'll look at some scripture tonight in Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. I tell you, if you'd like to, stand with us and we'll read the word of the Lord and let you stretch your legs a little bit. And you pray for us tonight. We just come to worship with you. In Numbers chapter 17 and verse number 1, the Bible said, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness. And behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall we be consumed with dying. And that's all we can read. You can be seated. And you pray for us just for a little while. We certainly covet your prayers, and that God would help us tonight say what he would have us to say. But in the scriptures that we read tonight, and the book of Numbers is for the most part some of those that books that when we endeavor to set out to read through the entirety of the Bible, and we'll start out doing pretty good, and we'll get through Genesis and move on, because a lot of exciting things happening in there, and then Exodus, and then we'll hit Leviticus, and by the time we hit Numbers, we get kind of bogged down, because the book of Numbers is the numbering of the tribes of Israel. And some of these books, be honest, is kind of some boring stuff in there that's not really, don't really feel like it's relevant to us in our day. But nonetheless, in the scattered throughout a lot of these books that we kind of get bogged down in is some things that God put in there, I believe, not only that had happened, but that we can glean from for our learning tonight. Now we understand that these scriptures are in the Old Testament, but the Bible is one book. It's made up of 66 individual books, but it's one story, right? It's God's redemption story of mankind and what God has done. But nonetheless, it's here and it's written for our learning. And so that's why I'm looking at this tonight. But you pray for us just for a little while. But what has happened during this time, Moses, Israel, they come up out of Egypt, come through the Red Sea in the wilderness. And in chapter 16, there was some rebellion against the authority of Aaron and his responsibility as the priest. And so there was some question among them. And the sons of Korah had asked them, said, well, it's too much. You've taken too much responsibility being the priest. You think that, in other words, that you're something and you think you're better than everybody and more holy than everybody. And so they were murmuring. They said, well, we're just as holy as you are, and we're God's people just like what you are. What makes you so special? But what made them special was God. God was the one that had chosen the tribe of Levi to be the priest. It wasn't any honor that they had taken among themselves, but it was a calling of God. And so they had challenged this call of God upon their life. And so they had, in chapter 16, it offered up incense and God judged the rebels and opened up the earth and swallowed them up. And you'd have thought that would be enough confirmation to let God do what God wants to do. But in chapter 17, we have another illustration or another account of what God had done to prove that Aaron was his man. There was still murmurings going on. Well, old Aaron, he thinks that there's something. He thinks he's better than us. He thinks he can do all this and we can't. Brother, it wasn't what Aaron thought, but it was what God had established. Not anybody could just rush into the presence of God. Not anybody could just do the service of the Lord in the Old Testament. But God had ordained that the tribe of Levi be the priest, and the descendants of Aaron were to be the high priest. God's the one that chose that. It wasn't Aaron. It wasn't anybody else but God. And so they're questioning the authority that God had put on Aaron. And so God said, all right, we're just going to put an end to this murmuring today. Now look at this, and I'll try to get into the message. And so what they were to do, Moses went to the elders of the people, the ruler, and basically said, all right, there's 12 tribes of Israel. Every tribe, get you a prince, get you a representative, and let them get a rod or a stick, and let them write their name on that stick, amen, and bring them all to me. And so 12 tribes, 12 sticks, they brought them to Moses. And the Bible said that God had commanded him to do this. And God said, and the rod that blooms and blossoms, that will be my man. Amen. And so God's going to show once and for all who his man is. And the Bible said there, that's what they did. Now notice this. And so Moses gathered the rods in verse number 6. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel. Every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece for each prince one. According to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And so you have 12 sticks brought down here. All of them look the same, don't they?
I mean, some of them might have been big. Some of them might have been long. Some of them might have been fat. Some of them might have been short. Some of them had, they probably looked different, but they were to write their name so they know whose is who. And so Aaron wrote his name on the rod. And Moses got all these sticks, put them inside the tabernacle of witness, and they waited to see what God was going to do. Amen. And so they come down to the tabernacle there the next morning, open up the door, pulls the sticks out, and lo and behold, you got sticks. How about you come the one? It's got buds and blossoms and almonds all over it. And look whose name on it. It's Aaron's. Amen. And thank God. Here's the point this morning. And my friend, and the challenge that we face, and the mentality of today's society, and my friend, Christianity is laid down among the rods. It's laid down among the religions. And everybody looks at them and say, well, your Christianity's fine, and all these other ones are fine, and everybody's rods just alike. But my friend, in the story that we read to you this morning, there was only one rod. Amen. And thank God that God put his stamp of approval on. And thank God, listen, and confirmed that the priesthood. It confirmed Aaron, and thank God. But everybody said, well, all of them's the same, preacher. Amen. Everybody's have the same. We all worship God. Amen. We all have serving the same God. No, we're not. And thank God. If it's not the God that this Bible reveals to us, it's not the true and living God. It's not the God that, my friend, that can take a dead stick and make it bloom and blossom. What I'm saying, brother, it was confirmation of what God had chosen. And I've chosen Aaron. I've chosen the tribe of Levi. I've not chosen his car, and I'm not chosen Dan, and I'm not chosen all these other tribes. I'm not chosen Judah, but I've chosen Aaron, and I'm going to put my stamp of approval. I'm going to let you know and confirm what I've chosen today. Amen. Thank God. Amen. And so we need to understand this. God has not chosen everything. Now listen, I'm not saying this morning, this evening, that God has chosen the Baptists. I didn't say that at all. There's a lot of Baptists that ain't in. Amen. I'm saying, my friend, that God, what has God chosen? He's chosen us in Christ Jesus. That's what he's chosen. He chose the Son of God's what he chose. And thank God and chose us in him. And I'm not getting all that, but what the point is this, that God confirmed. He said, I've got one. I've got one stick. And brother, that's my man, and I'm going to put my stamp of approval on it. I'm going to make that stick bud and blossom and show you without a doubt that that's the one. Hey man, now let me bring it just a little bit further. You say, preacher, what in the world does that have to do with anything that we're talking about today? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Here's the miracle. Here's the message in it. You've got a stick there. We know a stick can't produce any blossoms. We know a stick can't produce any almonds. Amen. Just an old stick being laying out there, don't have any leaves on it, just a stick. And we know within itself it can't. But the message of it is that of life and resurrection. That's the message of the bud and rod. How God can take a dead stick, amen, and cause life to come into it. And thank God, that's the message of Christ in the Old Testament, and how that he that liveth and was dead and said, I'm alive forevermore, thank God. Amen. Thank God. And so that gets us in, my friend, to the final authority of Christianity. My friend, because we serve a living Savior. He's not dead anymore. He did what no other man could do. My friend, the evidence, here's what people do today. Is they say, well, I just believe what I believe. And what I think I believe. What I believe about God is what I believe. And what you believe about God is what you believe. And all this revelation relativism and what I think's right and what you think's right. And there ain't nobody right. And if you think you're right, then you're judgmental. Thank God. Listen, I want you to know, brother, that's an old dead stick today. It ain't got nothing on it. There's no evidence to back it up other than you claiming to be the final authority of what you think. My friend, there's nothing to it. But what God has established in this Bible, brother, is historically and factually true. Amen. There's evidence to back up the faith that you and I have tonight. Amen. Thank God. And so, my friend, our faith tonight is not just a leap in the dark, but it's standing upon the Word of God. Amen. And thank God. It's based upon what this Bible said. And brother, thank God, it's not a dead stick. It's got blooms and blossoms and almonds. It's got life in it, thank God. Amen. There's other books you can read and religious books you can read. I've looked at some of them for about a minute or two, and I couldn't make head or tail out of it. And brother, just some kind of notions of men that have sat here and there and thought thoughts about things. How about, brother, the Bible, when I read it, thank God it comes alive to me. It speaks to me. It speaks to the issues of my life. It speaks to the deep needs of our heart. It shows me that I'm a sinner. It shows me how I can be saved. It shows me how I can be blessed. It showed me how I can know God. I'm telling you, it's blooming and blossoming. Thank God, in 2012 tonight. Yeah. It certainly is. That thing's outdated. Yeah, but bro, it's still blooming. Yeah. Thank God. I worked with a fellow one time. He said, hey, we went to church. I went to church last night. And I went to that tree. And he said, I picked me some more of that fruit. Thank God. Amen. You ever been to the book and found some juicy fruit? Amen. Find something that blesses your soul and meat for the soul and helps you. Amen. All them, there's a lot of sticks out there. But what I'm saying, the Bible, God's Word, is full of life. He's put His stamp of approval on it tonight. Amen. He certainly is. And thank God. And so, confirmation. But my friend, the budded rod speaks of resurrection, because you have a dead stick cut off from the roots, but now you have it blooming and budding. And that speaks of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? It confirmed the Aaronic priesthood, but also that confirmed the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why should we listen to what He has to say? Amen. Why should we be followers of Him? Why should we not follow somebody else? I mean, other people talked about good things, didn't they? They may have. Amen. I have not read everybody, but I have read a little bit about the Lord and what He's had to say. But I'm going to tell you what, out of all the things that He said and proclaimed and taught us about God, amen, one of the things He said is, I'll lay down my life and I'll take it up again. He said, you destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. He said, as Jonah was in the heart and the whale's belly, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. He spoke of His resurrection. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, the old saying is, either He's a liar, He's a lunatic, or He's the Lord. That's the only three options you got. Amen. And I tell you what, brother, He wasn't a liar. And He wasn't a crazy man. But He's the Lord, because He died on the cross. And in 3 days He got up again and conquered death, hell, and the grave. Brother, He is that rod that budded. And it was God's stamp of approval that He is the Son of God tonight. Amen. Amen. That's right. I tell you, it's essential. The resurrection is an essential Christian doctrine. The resurrection of Christ. Amen. It's essential. You have no right reason to believe it, believe the Christian message, or even believe Christ for that sake, if you do not believe in Christ's resurrection. It does not. I mean, listen, it doesn't make sense. Why would you believe Him when anything else He said, if He did not rise from the dead like He said there? We could question the whole bunch of things. Right? But my friend, it's essential that he rose from the dead. Old Paul said over there, my friend spoke of the resurrection. He said, if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. He said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, our preaching's in vain, your faith's in vain. You're still in your sins, you're in trouble. Those that put their faith in Christ are perished. And brother, we're of all men most miserable. But he goes on to say, but yeah, Christ is risen from the dead. How you know, old Paul? Paul said, I met him down there on Damascus Road. He was seen of Cephas and seen of the 12. And last of all, one born at due time, Paul said, I saw him. And thank God, he's alive. He's alive tonight. Amen. Thank God. Well, the old cover-up story, Brother Jeff, the Jews had to do something, my friend, because they crucified the Lord. Amen. They buried him in Joseph's tomb, and they had, my friend, rolled a stone over that sepulcher, and they came to Pilate and said, hey, while that deceiver lived, he talked about getting up, and we don't want any confusion about the matter. And so how about giving us some guards to go down there and guard the sepulcher lest the disciples come and steal his body away. Amen. Pilate said, yeah, you've got to watch and go down there and I'll give you some guards to watch over it. But my friend, as the first day of the week began to dawn, and the ladies went down to the sepulcher to anoint the body of the Lord with spices. You know, on the way down there, they got to thinking among themselves and said, well, who's going to roll that big old heavy stone away for us? We got to get in there to him. Right? You know, every time I think about that, I always think about we worry about things we don't even worry about. They were worried about how we going to get away. And brother, I'll tell you what, they didn't even need to be worrying about that, because when they got down to where Jesus had been buried, they found the stone rolled away. And the angel of the Lord came down there and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen like he said. Amen. And go tell his disciples that they can find him in Galilee. Thank God they ran away. They was afraid while they were running down the way. The Bible said the Lord met Mary and said, all hail, brother, and showed himself to her. And thank God she touched him and handled him and said, go tell my disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. Now what I'm saying, my friend, that there's proof that he was alive, but the Jews having to make some kind of story up that said, tell the people that the disciples came and stole his body away. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you what, that don't even make sense, does it? You know why? You know why they didn't steal the body away? Brother, they scared. They done saw what happened to their Lord. And they weren't about to get nowhere near that. They wasn't about to identify themselves with him. And because they meant the Lord and Master be smitten, and then the sheep's a scattering. And you know where they were? They were locked up in that upper room and had the doors shut and doors locked. And brother, they scared to death. They wasn't going to go down there and try to endeavor to get that body and pull it out. And my friend, these men were fishermen. How in the world are they going to overcome some of Pilate's guards and soldiers down there and whoop them? Listen, they didn't do it. It's just a cover-up, amen. It's just a denial that the rod is budding, amen. And it's putting forth blooms and blossoms and almonds. And he's alive, amen. And what it is God's a stamp of approval that this is my beloved son. And you need to hear him today. Amen. Evidence. Evidence. Amen. A historical proof. Listen, that's not much debate about that Christ rose from the dead. Amen. There's just not much evidence that he, thank God, there's not much reasonable explanation. It's historically proven. Thank God. Amen. That he arose from the dead. God put his stamp of approval on it. He bloomed and budded. There was never a man like him, was there? John the Baptist, of those that had been born of a woman, not not risen a greater than John, Jesus said. But my friend, listen, but Jesus, John said this. He said, hey, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to get down and take his sandals off his feet. There's one coming after me that I must decrease and he must increase. There's one coming after me that's preferred before me because he was before me. Amen. Thank God. The Lord said before Abraham was, I am. Thank God. He's the Ancient of Days. Thank God. He is the Lord of Lords. He is that rod that budded. And God said, that's my son. You need to believe on him today. Amen. Thank God. The rod that budded. He was dead. Now he's alive forevermore. Thank God. Amen. You say, preacher, I read in there about how them disciples shut up and he passed through the walls. He did. Thank God. I don't know how he did that. He said, well, brother, he said he's a spirit. Some of them said he's a ghost, a haint. Amen. And the Lord said, hey, I'm not a spirit. Touch me, handle me. I've got flesh. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And he said, have you got anything to eat? And they gave him something to eat. And brother, he spoke comfort into their hearts and things like that. And old Thomas wasn't there with them the first time, was he? Thomas said, I won't believe that until I stick my hand in his side, until I put my fingers in them scars. Thomas said, I've got to find out for myself. I believe Thomas is just wanting to be sure. That's all right, amen. If you really sincerely want to be sure, check it out. There's no harm in that. That's a commendable thing. Amen. And if you're an agnostic here tonight, say, well, preacher, we just really can't know. Search it out, amen. I believe you'll find it to be so. Thank God the next time they were gathered together, next Sabbath day, in that same upper room, same door shut. Thank God. And the Bible said Jesus came again. And brother, there old Thomas was with him that time. Amen. And the Bible said that the Lord came to him and said, Thomas, he said, how about sticking your hand in my side? Put your fingers in my hand. He said, be not faithless, but believing. And old Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Thank God. Listen, he saw for a surety that God's rod was budding and blooming and had almonds in him. You know what that is, brother? That's life. And that life that Christ had, he came to give me and you. You know what you are outside of Christ? You know what I am? Just an old dead stick. And we wonder sometimes why people don't have fruit in their life. It's because there's no life in them. They're severed from the vine. They're cut off. They don't have no root about them. They're dead and they're dry and have no blooms and blossoms and beauty in their life. But as soon as we get plugged into the Lord of life, brother, we'll start blooming and put fruit and blossoms and beauty in our life today. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of sticks around, isn't there? Back on one Sunday morning, back in 1989, I went to a little old country church. It wasn't big as this. It was smaller than this. A little old tin roof. Didn't have any have air conditioning in it, Brother Jim. Amen. Old handful of old people, 100 years and older. There me and my cousin was. We was teenagers. Went to that little old church. I didn't have piano player. Didn't have choir. We just sung them old redback book and just... this preacher get up and preach. Never heard nothing like it all my life. He got up there and I thought, well, all I'd ever been around was sticks before. Amen. He got up there and got the blooming and blossoming. And got some almonds hanging off of him. I thought, man, I thought Christianity was supposed to be dead. I never heard anybody get like that. That man took his coat off and rolled his shirt sleeves up. And brother got to sweating all over the place and preaching. And got all red faced. And brother, I told you, I'd never seen nothing like it. But there's something about it I liked. Thank God. I said, I'll tell you one thing. That place ain't dead. It ain't dry. That preacher ain't dead. There's some life down at that place today. I want something with some life on it, don't you? He is the Lord of the living. Amen. He's the Lord of life. And he gives life. But I came a little old stick, Brother Jeff. Wasn't no life in me. I was among the sticks. But I tell you what, one Sunday morning, I went down, they give that invitation. I come down that altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I don't know what that man did, that boy did. Yeah. I trusted the one that bloomed out of the grave. Amen. I called upon him, said, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. And I tell you what, this little old stick has started blooming and blossoming. Amen. There's some buds that come out of my soul up there in that old-fashioned altar. And when I called upon the, you know what that was? How's assurance the Lord gave me? I didn't have cold chills running from my head to my toe. But brother, there was peace that welled up in there. Ain't never been peace like that before. Peace like a river. Now that if I were to die, I know that I'd be in the presence of the Lord. And thank God they'd been dreading and all like that. But now there's peace here, blossoming in my soul. My friend, that was God's confirmation and he'd save me. Amen. Amen. It was a blooming. There was some blossoms, some flowers, and there was some fruit. God said, hey, you're one of mine now. Isn't that a good thing to have assurance? Assurance. It certainly is. I believe tonight that we know that we're saved. The Bible says we can. 1 John says we can. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. This is the witness and so on and forth. We say, if any man goes on and talks about he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. Mm-hmm. Amen. Somebody brought up the other day, I remember when we lived down here in Marietta, they knocked at the door one day, I was over at the house. Answered the door, and some of Jehovah's Witnesses come by and started, I don't remember what they was talking about, but they just gave me their spiel. And I said, hey, have you got a Bible? They said, yeah, we got a Bible. So they gave me the Bible, Brother Jeff, and it was some New World Translation, I think what they use, whatever it is. But you know what? There's enough in there. And I said, you know, you're talking about this future stuff, but I've got a question for you. If all that's going to happen, we're out there somewhere, and all that's going to happen, how can I live forever? I asked him, I said, how can I live forever? I'm going to die. How can I get to that place he's talking about? And they started telling me, I said, let me see that Bible. And I turned over there in John, where's it, John chapter 3. Amen. I said, let me see this. And I got their Bible, and I stand there, and I got to turn over in John chapter 3. It said, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God. I said, what do you think that means? He that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son of God don't have life. That's what their Bible said. I was using their Bible. I said, it tells me life is in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's in him. Boy, if you got him, you got life. I said, do you have him? I said, we'll have to, and they got to yawn there. And then I turn over in 1 John that talks about the assurance that you and I can have, and if we have Christ, then we have life, but if we don't have Christ, we don't have life. I said, what do you think that means? And say, well, sir, we don't know. We'll have to, if you got some questions about that, we'll go get some of our elders and come over here and talk to you. I said, oh, no, I don't have any questions about it. But what I'm saying, what I told them people, I said, you need to study that scripture for yourself and quit doing it through the eyes of the Watchtower Society. And you read it for yourself and you ask yourself, say, what do you think that means? What does God mean by that? And take an honest approach to the word. And I believe you can find that life. Amen. Now, all whatever's waiting out in the future and how beautiful heaven must be won't do me one bit of good if I'm not going there. Amen. I thank God, but I'm glad back in 1989 the Lord gave me old time salvation, old time life, and I'm headed for that wonderful country tonight. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Aren't you, Brother Jim?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank God. And sometimes even now it gets to budding in our souls, doesn't it, church? Amen. I tell you what, the greatest deception I had before I got saved was Christianity's dead, dry, it's dead. And y'all know that, and I give my testimony, but I found out that's not true. It's not true at all. It's a good way. It's a living way. It certainly is. And I'm glad to know the Lord. I'm glad I'm serving the right one because of the evidence, amen, that God had confirmed upon Aaron, upon his son, upon the scriptures, even upon our hearts tonight, that we can know that we're saved and on our way to glory. Amen. Have that beauty of evidence and assurance in your heart tonight. They will come around verse some song. That's the message.
Can I say this tonight? And I hope I don't offend anybody saying this. I don't mean to, but I believe it tonight. There's times that when you and I come that we have to, as old timers call it, pray through. We have to pray and talk to God until that peace, until we're assured of it. But listen to me now, but we're standing upon the Word of God and what God's Word says. That's what our faith is in. That's what we stand upon. It's not what I think. We're not the Quakers. Have you ever heard about the Quakers? They sit around, they just sit there and they just wait and wait for the Spirit. And they don't even use the Bible. They just wait on whatever they feel like saying. Brother, that's not right. Amen. It's your feelings will change. You feel good today and you'll feel bad tomorrow. Listen, our feelings are like this, up and down. But the Word of God, it don't change tonight. And if you need assurance tonight, what your problem is one or two things. Either, first of all, you're lacking some insight from God's Word that you don't have. Or either, number two, either you have it and you don't believe it. Amen. You know, one of the greatest verses of assurance for me has been, "And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I read that and I say, you know what? That's what I did right there.
Yeah, that's right.
I called on Him.
Yeah.
And the Bible said, God said, that whoever calls on me shall be saved.
Yeah.
I called on Him, therefore I'm saved. I'm saved because I called on Him. Amen. I tell you what, if that ain't true, brother, ain't none of it true. Ain't God. And with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. I believe with the heart and I confess, hey, I want y'all to know I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's not talking about confessing our sins. That's talking about confessing Him as our Savior tonight. One of the best things you'll ever do after you trust Christ as Savior is tell somebody about it. Amen. Tell him. Tell him that the Lord saved you. Amen. Assurance. Now, look, why are we all standing? Why are we singing? Brother Jeff, you want to come around?